you for your presence here. I ask you, God, to be honored and glorified in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody says amen. Tonight, I want you to do something. I want you to go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. I have talked in the last few weeks on Sundays about the decisions that you can make and how one day can change your life. And last Sunday I talked about that when I discover my purpose and when I connect with my purpose, that how my life changes. In Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says that where there is no revelation, where there's no vision, where there's no ongoing understanding, people dwell in darkness. They cast off restraint. In John 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So, if you believe in Jesus tonight, there's a power that is inside of you. And maybe for some of you, it's laying dormant. Maybe you just use it when you think you need it. But there is a power that is available to you, to them that believe on the name of Jesus. And the Bible says if that same Spirit lives inside of you, and if Christ lives in you, it does, it will quicken your body, your mortal body. It'll come into your flesh. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it will have dominion over you and cause you and equip you to live with a passion and a purpose that will make your life different. When you think about purpose and living for the purpose of God, I think about how Daniel, and the only thing that's going to be up on the screen tonight is ask Jeff just to get the words, the Bible up there. Daniel lived with purpose in his heart. But I want to read this because there is an interesting dichotomy in the Scripture here tonight that maybe some people don't understand. We think of living with purpose. We think maybe that everything is going to be easy. Everything is going to be great. We're going to have everything just fit in the right way, and then I'll be able to have that purpose. So I want to just begin to read. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. But if I've given you one before and you just don't carry it, get used to it. Get a Bible, or you can look on your phone. There's a version on your phone. You can look at the Word of God. It's called YouVersion, if you got a Kindle or an iPad. But if you'll look at the Word while I'm reading it, whether I'm reading it as I am tonight out of New King James, it's just important for you to have that. And it's great that it's up on the screen. But when you leave here tonight, you can't take the screen with you. So if you have it, the Bible, and you've marked it or underlined it in your Bible, it will help you in the future. Everybody that understands that and agrees says a good amen? Amen. Good. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and he besieged it, took it over. Verse 2, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure of the house of his God." Every time when you read the Bible, there's always more. There's a story behind the story that you're reading. And so you got to get the scenario in which Daniel is in here. Here, the Lord gives Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of this wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, who is a godless man. And the Bible says that the Lord gave the king of Judah into his hand, and also he allowed him to take some of the articles out of the house of God into the house of his God, which was evil. And you can look at that. We kicked this around on Tuesday morning. Phil was talking out of James, where the Bible says, count it all joy, brethren, when you go through a trial. And no one likes a trial. Amen? If you think you like a trial, you ain't been in a trial. Because nobody that's been in a trial likes a trial. No one. And so here is the scenario. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. He wanted the best for his kingdom. And he wanted to indoctrinate them and teach them in a way that they would benefit his reign. Now, when we talk about living for the purposes of God, some people think that maybe this is hard. This is a difficult thing to do. And it's not always easy to make that turn in your life when you've been living one way. Maybe you've been living for yourself, away from God, selfishly, self-centeredly, and all of a sudden now you're going to live for a purpose of God. And it might not be the most easiest and the most pleasant thing. And here in this scenario, God is allowing these young men to be handpicked by this evil king to be a part of their kingdom. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of that time they may serve before the king. Look at the scenario. 3 years of indoctrination. 3 years of feeding them a certain thing. 3 years of teaching them and having influence on them. And educating them in the way that they wanted. Nebuchadnezzar wanted these young men to be pawns in his hand and not to look to God for everything, but to look to him for everything. And he wanted to have this influence on them in every part of their life. Now, I want you to stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. Satan uses the same strategy in our lives and in the world that we live in. You don't have to look at the news long. You don't have to look in culture long to see that the enemy is having an influence on our culture, even within the church and within Christian lifestyles and people that call themselves Christian, to influence them and tell them that the things and the plans and the ways of God are not as important as maybe what the Bible says, that you don't have to go down that road. You don't have to be so disciplined. You don't really have to live for God. You can live and you can allow the world to have the influence on you because the influence of the world wants to change you and conform you into its image. And here they are. He's having this influence on them. He's training them. He's having them eat certain foods and do all these things. And then he takes them to this next level. He says, now from among them in verse 6, those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Here not only they're choosing them, but look at how they're trying to have an influence in changing who they are. And we've known them in these names that we quote all the time. But let's go on. He says, to them, chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, to Azariah, Abednego. Now, you might not know these names. The name Daniel means God is my judge. But Nebuchadnezzar had his name changed to Belshazzar, meaning Bel's prince. The name Hananiah means beloved by the Lord. These are great Hebrew names. And here Nebuchadnezzar comes, and he wants it changed to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Look at the influence that he's having on their lives. The name Mishael, meaning who is as God, changed to Meshach, which means who is like Venus. And the name Azariah, meaning the Lord is my help, and changed it to Abednego. Now, we've heard the story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for years. But we didn't know, sometimes you didn't know the backstory on it, that that's not their true Hebrew names. Their Hebrew names had been changed to these other names, Abednego, meaning servant of Nego. Changed them. Influenced. Tried to get into their lives and into their minds and into their culture so much to have this effect on them so much and influence them so much. They were the best. They were the brightest going. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself for a few reasons. Number one, that the food was probably, historians feel that it was offered to idols. The second thing is that if he partook of that food, that he would become in covenant with them, because a meal with someone is partaking in covenant with them. That's why it's just important to eat together. And he didn't want to do that. And so he stood out above the crowd. Listen, why? Listen to me tonight. I might not get far in this at all. All of that said, because he had purpose in his heart. Now some start out really well. And sometimes we let the influence of things, the world, people, relationships, sway us into a direction that we were never called and created to go and to be like. And when we have clear, defined purpose in our heart, it doesn't matter what will come in. Because I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the world is after your salvation. Not just the devil, the world. The world does not want you to depend on God. And I'm not some leftist crazy person up here just sharing some crazy mess. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, it's not just in the world that we lived in. It was in the world that Daniel lived in as well. The Bible is so relevant. And it's just amazing to me how relevant it is. Purpose will always cause you to live your life to a higher level. And Daniel knew that he had purpose in his life, and he would not defile his life with the things that everybody else felt comfortable with. I want to ask you tonight, and I'm not going to be long, but I want to ask you something. Are you comfortable with things that the world tries to shove under your nose? Have you had or found yourself in a compromising condition where you just allow anything to come and whatever goes is okay? And I didn't have this conversation with Brad. I hope he's not feeling any worse tonight than he already tried to make himself. The world would tell you, sure, go ahead and do that. But the Lord would say, no, that's not appropriate. That's not what we do. Because when you live with purpose, everything changes. You see differently. You approach life differently. You see things. When Brad was standing up here talking tonight, I didn't think of my wife. I didn't think of my daughter. I didn't think of my family. But when you live for purpose, before you connect with any of those other things, it comes across your life. That's why it's so important for you to make up your mind who you're going to serve today. You're going to serve the Lord, or are you just going to serve whatever comes along? Because if you'll just serve whatever comes along, how many of you know you're going to be going in a multiple of directions? And when you know that you have purpose in your life, you've been called for a reason, God saved you for a reason. Every person in the sound of my voice right here tonight, when you were released into this earth, God had a purpose
for your life.
Every single one of you. Some of you have discovered it. Some of you are living it. Others of you are just discovering to a degree. And some of you, you're not sure, you don't know. But to everyone, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Every single one of us in here tonight has been born with a purpose in our lives. And it's so important not to let the influence of the world suck you in and say, oh, you can do that. Oh, come on. Who cares? It's okay. You can do that. You can live like that. Who's going to know? Who cares? But God cares. And your life will care. You didn't know I was going to talk out of Daniel tonight. Probably if you did, some of you wouldn't even have come. But I like this. Daniel in verse 8 purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Because the culture there was, if the king said so, you do it. And if the people that were over you told you to do it because the king, and they didn't enforce it, not only you would die, but they would die as well. That's why he said, if the king notices you look worse, it's my head off too. And Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants. For 10 days let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Here's where we pull what is called the Daniel fast. Then let your appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young man who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, after their features appeared better and fatter in flesh, I don't know if that was better, than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them. And among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. Stood out, because they had purpose. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers, who were all in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. What else can we see in this? Purpose will always cause you to live to a higher level and will always take you to higher levels. Even in that scenario, look what happened to Daniel and the other three that were with him. Because they would not defile themselves, because they lived with purpose, God made it for them to stand out above all of the others, the astrologers and all of those, that group of people of that day. He allowed them to rise higher than that. Because when you have purpose, you see differently. You act differently. You live differently. The second thing I wanted to say is when you live and have purpose in your life, you will live with discipline in your life. Hear me now. Discipline means to do something in a controlled and in a habitual way. Discipline. I want to ask you tonight. I want you just to make a literal note of this or make a mental note. Do you have discipline in your life? Are you living with discipline in your life? In verse 12, the Bible says, when everyone else was eating whatever they wanted, Daniel and the other three exercised discipline in their life. Sometimes we use grace, and God, He is kind to us and gives us grace. But when we have discipline in our lives, He helps us through issues and challenges that maybe we'd never face. Listen, I read this verse on Sunday out of 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. You can do, you can go, you can drink, you can smoke, you can hang around whoever you want and go wherever you want. But is it beneficial to you? And some people say, well, I just can't stop. I just can't change. I just can't do this. My brothers and my sisters, ask God to infuse your life with discipline. Because if you're going to find the purpose that He created for your life, you are going to have to institute this realization in you that you're going to have discipline in your life. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Now, isn't that Tuesday early morning Bible study? And Pastor Larry, he went off on one of his little things. And at the end, he says, we do it all because of eternal life. Amen. And that's where it all comes down to, my brothers and my sisters. If you have discipline in your life, it will not only yield results in your own personal life, but it will yield results in your family, your children, and even in your relationships. Because that's my next point. I'm going to be closing in just a minute. If you're going to live with purpose in your life, you're going to have discipline. And the next thing you're going to have great friendships in your life. And I'm going to talk more about this Sunday. And I love talking about relationships. I love talking about friendships because you need them in your life. People that think they don't need anybody are only fooling themselves. You cannot be successful and live an isolated life. You have to have great friends, good people in your life. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48 that Daniel and his other three friends were promoted over the affairs of the king's province in Babylon, because all of these pieces begin to fit together. He knew his purpose. He knew how he was called. He had discipline in his life, and he made sure he was around the right people in his life that would help him get to the place where God had called him to go. Now, I want to ask you this tonight. My mom used to say, I know what you've been doing by the people you've been hanging around. Anybody else's mom ever tell you that? I used to hate that when she told me that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were with Daniel, and they were set over the affairs of Babylon. The Bible says in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, that bad people corrupt good people. You can't, I don't care. You know, I grew up on the farm. I love the cow barn. People that complain about the smell of manure, I don't know. I don't understand. I love the smell of manure. I mean, the guys that we had working on the farm, they, you know, people go up putting cologne on them. These guys slap diesel fuel on them. That's just the way it was. You could be cleaned. You could be showered. You could wear a suit. If you stepped into that cow barn for 1 minute and you come walking out and you walked in here, everybody would know where you've been. 2 Corinthians 6:14, in God's Word translation, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Can right and wrong be partners? I love that. Can light have anything in common with darkness? And what's the answer? Nada. I know you're going to want Chuck Wood back next time, aren't you? I want to leave you with this. Who are you associating with? You say, well, I just don't have friends. It's hard for me. Is it? Pastor Tommy Barnett said one time years ago, and I had no relationship with him, but I was at a conference as we were there last week, and I heard him say, if you want to get close to someone, only one has to move. A lot of people they're waiting. Well, if they come a little closer, then I'll go. No, if you want to get close to someone, only one has to move. Listen to me now. And I thought, you know, as I sat there this year, and I sent a message to Pastor Luke Barnett's assistant, wondering if, you know, could we get some good seats? And do you know that this year, they put us on the front row of that large church, and there was five of us, another pastor, and Patty and I, and they gave me five seats up there, Aaron and Ben. When we sat there this year, every one of the speakers walked right by us and shook our hand. And I begin to think about that. I remember I sent Ben and Ryan a picture of where I was sitting. They said, we remember when we went there, we were on the back row of the church. This church seats 6,500 people. It's huge. It's got two balconies. And there we were, because we have made it a priority to do this. And good people, as much as bad people will harm you, good people will bless you. And it might not be easy all the time. And I've said this before. I have a pastor in my life that speaks into my life, and I want that. And I let him tell me. I get right in front of him and say, Pastor, talk to me. And it's not always easy, and it's not always pleasant. But how many of you know? It'll always produce something good. And you have to have the right people in your life. And I'm not telling you, I can't do this with everybody here. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody in here that can help you. And that's why it's important to be here on a night like tonight, that you can build those relationships. It's so important to get into a Bible study and build some relationships with people that are moving in a direction that you know you need to go in. Many of you have heard me tell the story. You've even heard Brad. Well, let's pick on Brad tonight. We'll just pick on him. I remember the first time he came. I remember what he was about when he first came in. I could smell him. He was sitting maybe not far from where he is tonight. I could smell him from here. Teeth broken, drinking, living a life just all out of sorts. And I watched him. I saw him give his life to Christ. And then you know what he did? He just haunted me all the time. He went through these stages in his life where he just, all of a sudden he'd take off. And he called me, where are you? I'm in Florida. What are you doing in Florida? I don't know. He just take off. He called me, and I just, you know, Brad, yeah, I mean, you're just weird. So what's the matter with you? Crazy. But you know what? He made a decision to let somebody speak into his life, have influence on him, change him. My brothers and my sisters, purpose in your life, if you're going to live for purpose, you're going to have the right people in your life. You're going to strive to have discipline in your life. And you're going to have the people around you that will speak life and speak truth to you. If all you got is people around you that are just patting you on the back and telling you how good looking you are and how great you are, you're missing something. You've got to have some people in your life put their arm on you and say, hey, you need to consider this. You need to look at this. Now, we don't need to have people in your life that they find that they're calling just every time they're around you to pick you apart. That's not what I'm talking about. Does everybody understand that? You don't need that person in your life. They're crazy. You need people in your life. I probably shouldn't have said it that way, but this Thursday night, like Brad said, we're family, so I can just talk to you. You need people in your life that you can... They'll let you let them speak truth into you when it's needed. Come on, amen. And when you do that, your life, you begin to change. You'll look back over your life. You won't be the same person that you used to be. And I'm tired. Listen, I don't know if I should say it, but I'm just going to say it. I'm tired of limp-wristed preachers that are afraid to preach the Word of God because they're going to offend somebody, and somebody's going to get mad at them, and they're not going to come back. Do you know how many people have gotten mad at me over the years? A lot. You're going to get mad at me because the Bible is going to tell you the truth. And if you're heading in one direction, and all of a sudden you hear the Word of God, and it strikes you to change you, you're not going to like it. People just don't say, oh, I just love to get a spanking, or I just love to get corrected. Nobody likes correction. But my friends, tonight, you need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. Amen. Amen. Purpose. Purpose. Live with purpose. Know your purpose. The environment won't change you. Culture won't change you. People won't change you. God will draw you and lead you and make you into who He has called and created you to be. And when you do that, my friends, He'll take you places and He'll take you on journeys you never thought you'd ever experience. Amen. Come on, do you love Him tonight? Come on, you love Him tonight? Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You, God, for helping and healing and blessing people. I pray, God, for my friends, my brothers and sisters that are here tonight, God, that life would continually take hold of them and they would live like You have called them to live. Purpose, discipline, and the right relationships. Hallelujah. I praise You tonight, God. I pray for all the kids tonight. Every one of the kids, from the little ones up to the youth next door. God, just continue to do mighty things in them. Pray for the kids, Lord, this coming Sunday, that God, You just bless them and do great things with them and for them. I thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Love you. Now listen, don't run out. Make a relationship. Shake somebody's hand. Say hi to somebody before you leave. I know for some of you that's hard. I know it's hard, but do it. Do it. Some of you, you're afraid to go up to a guy like Brad. You think he's a big, tough guy. He's just a sissy. You need to meet a guy like him. He'll help you. He'll bless you. Amen. I love you. Go in God's grace tonight.